anyone that would like to check in to the Lucas County ArriesNet? If so, please give your call sign and first name slowly. This is KD8EDN, net control of the Lucas County ArriesNet.
Here is November 8th, Golf Bravo Uniform Mike.
Kilo Delta 8, Quebec Bravo Hotel, Jim in Oregon.
KD8UZA and Dave, this is Joe. I'll be your alternate.
Okay, we'll hold it up right there here. I'll let give Joe a chance to grab a paper and pencil for the alternate here for the Lucas County ArriesNet. First check-in was November 8, Golf Bravo Uniform Mike. Is that correct, Mike?
Yes, that is.
Okay, fine business. And then we had Kilo Delta 8 Quebec Bravo Hotel, Jim, out there in Oregon. Glad to have you with us tonight. And then we had our alternate net control tonight, Kilo Delta 8 Uniform Zulu Alpha. Joe, he's going to be alternate tonight. Do we have any other check-ins tonight for the Lucas County ArriesNet? This is KD8EDN net control.
KD6D Skeet.
WD8MXR.
KD8ZLW.
Okay, we had three check-ins there. Kilo Delta 8, Kilo X-Ray Delta Skeet. Glad to have you with us tonight. Then WD8MXR Brian. And then we had Kilo Delta 8, Victor Lima Whiskey. And what is the first name, please?
KD8ZLW Mike.
That's Kilo Delta 8 Zulu Lima Whiskey. Is that correct, Mike?
That is correct.
Okay, fine business. Again, this is a short net. It is an informational net, and we're trying to get out some information about Lucas County Aries. Glad for the quick seven check-ins, and let's get to some of the information that we need to get out tonight. Actually, I'm running the net tonight for Brenda, Kilo Bravo 8, India Uniform Papa. She was called out of town, and she asked if I would pick up the net tonight because I do the TMRA Newcomers and Elmers net right after this one, and I said, sure, that would be no problem. Always time for another half an hour on the air. First thing we're going to talk about, there's a couple things coming up here. Beginning the week of November the 8th, the Military Auxiliary Radio System, better known as MARS, will participate in a quarterly contingency high-frequency exercise in support of the Department of Defense. This exercise scenario will simulate a coronal mass ejection, that's a CME event, on the sun, and focus on actions that radio operators should take prior to and following such an event. Coronal mass ejections, or CMEs, are huge bubbles of gas threaded with magnetic field lines that are ejected from the sun over the course of several hours. Coronal mass ejections disrupt the flow of solar wind and produce disturbances that strike the Earth with sometimes catastrophic results. For more on those, I would suggest you go out onto the internet and just type that in, and there is plenty of information out there. For this event that is going on the week of November 8th, they have a few training objectives. One is to understand what a CME is and how much forecast lead time can be expected prior to the CME. What effects are associated with a CME, and what precautions should radio operators take prior to the event to protect their radio equipment? Following the coronal mass ejection, operators will begin assessing the effects and begin reporting this information. Interoperability with amateur radio operators and groups will also be in effect with the people in the MARS organization. Amateur radio operators in Aries and RACES are encouraged to participate in this exercise. If you are interested in participating, please check with either Brian, who did check in here tonight, WD8MXR, or W8TER, Steve. And again, their address, if you need to get a hold of them via email, would just be their call sign at ARRL.net. And you can send them an email, and they'll send you back what information they have and what they will be doing. The other thing that will be coming up here, and this will be coming up, I believe, on the 7th, is the hospital radio test. And since I do have Brian on here, I'm going to pass it over to you, Brian, or I can take it, whichever you'd like. But Brian would like to talk about the LCARES hospital radio test. That'll be 10 a.m. Starting, I believe, on November 7th. I'll let you talk about that, if you would, Brian. This is KD8EVN.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. This is WD8MXR. Basically, it's going to be a relatively simple check of as many of the hospital radios as possible. We would like to get at least the 8 Toledo hospitals manned. Not quite sure the situation with Wood County Hospital. But basically, it's going to be if the amateur radio operator has an SWR meter that he or she can take, check the antenna installation at the hospital. Then we will just meet on, I think we're going to meet on 2-7, check all the hospitals, radios on 2-7, go to a simplex frequency, and then basically that will be it. We're not going to exercise the D-star part of the radio or the digital part of the radio, like FL Digi. Just we want this time around to get people used to the fact that, hey, it's the first Saturday of the month. In conjunction with the NorCNet, we will exercise the hospital radios. Steve, WATER, has a outline of the proposed test procedure. He's going to post that, I think, on the Yahoo group, on the LCAS website, and he could send it out to the TMRA members, too. That's a very large mailing list. And most of the people that are active in LCAS are also members of the TMRA, so that's one way we can get the information out. This is WDMXR.
Okay, fine business. That's an excellent time to test the hospital radio system. And again, just checking out the SWR, making sure that antennas are in good shape going into winter. That's the start. And like Brian says, it'll be a chance to become familiar with the hospital radios and perhaps the closest hospital to your location. And again, I'm sure that they're going to build on this exercise with perhaps FL Digi and D-Star Radio as time goes by. But this is a start, and it's a good thing to do. And again, it will be in conjunction with the statewide NORACNet that also is operation at the same time, and we'll be able to report in on the status of our county and our inter-hospital communication. While Brian was talking there, I got an email from Ernie, K8EEE, and he says that the National Weather Forecasters have estimated a 90% chance of a geomagnetic storm on November 2nd and 3rd when fast-moving stream of solar wind is expected to hit Earth's magnetic field. And it says solar wind speeds could exceed 800 kilometers per second and spark a small, strong G3 class geomagnetic storm. Now, this is not, I repeat, not a coronal mass ejection, but it probably will play hob with our problems on HF. So what's your favorite space weather radio site for details as it approaches. Again, that's going to be on the 2nd and 3rd of November. And again, depending on the type of solar wind stream, we may suffer some effects in some of the high-frequency radio bands. Coming events here for Lucas County Aries this month. Again, we have the radio testing on the first Saturday of the month. On the first Friday of the month, we will have the Lucas County Siren Training Net, which in conjunction with Skywarn is a day when the sirens go off at noon. Amateurs all over the county report in the operability of the sirens if they hear them. It doesn't take much time. The net opens up usually about 11:45 and then goes until about 12:15 at the latest. And again, all they're waiting for is check-in and then a quick did you hear the siren or not, and then you're done. And then they send that report in to the local EMA here in Lucas County, and that gives them valuable information on the operability of the sirens and how they're working. So put those two dates on your calendars. Again, it's the first Friday of the month coming up here this week, and then the next Saturday right after that is the Lucas County Hospital Net for testing radios. And then the Lucas County Aries meeting is on, that is on November 28th, and that would start at 9 a.m. at St. Luke's Hospital. If you'd like to get there early, around 8:30 or so, they start meeting in the cafeteria, which is just down the hall from the meeting room down there in the basement. And people stop in and get some good breakfast, and then go to the meeting at 9 o'clock, and usually lasts an hour, at the most would be 2 hours. Occasionally they will have a presentation. Last meeting we had WATER actually give a presentation on how to protect your radios in case of a coronal mass ejection. And there were some interesting things on what you would do to keep your radio from being damaged and how to take care of that. And very interesting stuff. So if you're interested in that type of thing, I would highly recommend that. I'll take a break right here and see if there's anyone else that would like to check in that's out there listening to the Lucas County Aries Brief. Aries and BriefNet, and if you would like to check in, just give your call sign and first name slowly and clearly. This is KD8EDN Net Control.
W6LDS Lucas.
W8SYD Mike, and of course I have a question about that drill actually.
T-E-R, Steve.
There was a, this is W6LDS, there was a check in there on Simplex. I don't know if anybody else heard it.
Okay, Lucas, let me review what we did check in. First, Lucas, I believe you've got a new call sign, and you're saying it's Whiskey 6, Lima Delta Sierra. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, fine business. Congratulations on the new call sign. Then I had WA8SYD Mike. Then I had Rich check in, and all I got out of that was, I think it's Kilo Bravo 8 Echo Foxtrot. Is that correct, Rich? Echo Foxtrot. Got you in, Rich. And then we had W8TER. If there was another station out there trying to check in that I did not acknowledge, please check in at this time. This is KD8EDN.
KV8P, Rob.
And Rich is Simplex.
Okay, we had Kilo Kilo Victor 8, Papa, Rob, thanks for the check-in. And did you say that Rich Kilo Bravo 6, Echo Foxtrot is checking in Simplex? Is that correct, WA8SYD?
Yeah, I heard him without the courtesy beep, and he buzzed once against the output of the thing, so I'm pretty sure he's Simplex. That's what it sounded like.
Okay, fine business. Pass that on to you there real quick. Rich, check settings on your radio, but you're making it into the repeater. Okay, fine group of folks checked in there. We've got a nice dozen people in. I'm going to open it up. Are there any questions, any quick questions tonight on any of the information that we covered about Lucas County Aries? If so, give your call sign and first name, and we'll get right to you. This is KD8EVN.
SYD, I checked in with a question on that.
WA8SYD, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I want to check with Brian, if it's okay, on the timing, particularly for the two-meter check-ins and nets. We'll be running the class there right next to the 911 building, and we'll make sure that we monitor that or maybe even give a check-in from that location, even on portables or whatever we have set up, and that'll give the students something to listen to. So as long as we know when it'll occur, we'll make allowances for it during the class, W8SYD.
WD8MXR, do you have an answer for WA8SYD's question, KD8EVN?
This is WD8MXR. We want to start the hospital test at 10 o'clock local time. Hopefully we will get through most of what we want to do by 11 o'clock when the NorcNet starts. And then what we would like to do is any local people that are checking in on the 40-meter frequency for the NorcNet can notify the NorcNet control station that they have the possibility of communications with whatever number of local hospitals have checked in, assuming that they've been listening to the two-meter check-ins on the hospital test procedures. So that would give, you know, a nice liaison between us locally on 2 meters at the hospitals and the HF NorcNet people. And keep in mind that the NorcNet is, you know, primarily set up for hospital communications with the EOCs and things like that. Does that help, Mike? WDMXR?
Yeah, Brian, that's good enough. If you're doing the 2 meter check-ins around 10, we'll try to match that up with our good mid-morning break. That'll work out. What we want to do, because the current class is emphasized more on emergency communications, and we'd at least like to let the flavor of an actual net, since we'll be listening to inputs and outputs as well. I think we can monitor all of it. Okay, on the NorcNet, sorry we won't be able to participate otherwise, but class is the priority. And by the way, for those of you who are listening and have someone that you know might, could be, should be in the class, gosh, please let them know. Get the information off the website and get to us. We have room and materials left as far as I know, so please do that. Anyway, Brian, thank you very much for the info. W8SYD back to that.
W6LDS query.
W6LDS, go ahead with your query. KD8EVN.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was if it would be possible for me to check in on the K8TIH repeater down in Bowling Green, as at 10 a.m. I'll be down in Wood County. If it'd be possible for somebody to at least monitor that so I can at least attempt to participate. Is that possible or not?
WD8MXR, would that be possible to have another repeater being monitored so Lucas could check in from Bowling Green, KD8EVN?
Yeah, I don't see why not. You should be able to hit the 2-7 from Bowling Green, though. That would be a good thing. I think there's an alternate. Some of the, help me out here, Steve. I think we're also going to run the hospital test through another repeater. I'm drawing a blank on the frequency. As far as Bowling Green check-in, what would be really great, and and I need to check with the new EC for Wood County, would be to activate the equipment that should be at the Wood County Hospital, but I don't quite know the situation with that. So I don't know where you're going to be in Bowling Green and why you're going to be in Bowling Green, Lucas, but don't plan on going to the hospital and finding a set of equipment there. That seems to be an area that we still have to resolve the situation there. May I ask WATER to give us the frequency that we're going to check in addition to 27, please, net control?
Yes, fine business, Brian. WATER, is there another frequency that we will be checking? I know on HF it'll be around, on 40 meters, 7.200, but any other repeaters being checked or any other frequencies we might want to write down. Go ahead, WATER.
Okay, this is WATER. Well, the plan is to monitor as many of the repeaters in the area as possible. When I say the area, that includes the close ones to the outside, the edges of Lucas County, such as Wood County, Fulton County, Henry County, Ottawa County, the ones that are touching the border of Lucas, going to try to monitor those repeaters that are accessible. The frequency that you're talking about, Brian, once we go, is going to go to the 147.375 repeater, and that is because Ottawa County and I believe Tiffin and another county are able to get into that repeater, so they will hopefully check in and chime in with some communication. Probably going to have a scanner listening for the rest of the repeaters in the area, and then try to catch people as they're coming on to get them checked in, get their information. So it's kind of complex. The main net control will just handle the general stuff, but if we get stuff from the outside counties, we'll have to bring that to the main net, which would be on 147.270. Obviously, we can hit their repeaters. Sometimes they can hit ours, so it's kind of a makeshift deal to try to collect all the information we can or all the stations that we can from the different repeaters. We have a pretty good amount of repeaters in the area. We've got the 442.775 up on Flower Hospital, which is easily hit by other outside stations. So not just the 2-meter, but the 440 repeaters as well. I hope that made that as clear as mud. WATER.
Thank you, WATER, for that answer. W6LDS, does that answer your question, Lucas?
Yes, it did. Thank you very much. I won't actually be directly in Bowling Green. I might be outside of the limit just about. And it's the first Saturday of the month, 10 a.m., and I like to go monitor their tests. So I might try, at least attempt to get into the 375 maybe, or the 27, and if not, just keep going on with my day. W6LDS, back to that.
Fine business. We're coming up here on 8 o'clock. I'll ask again, are there any other questions or any queries or any other information for the good of the net for the folks that have checked in? This is KD8EDN, net control.
WD8MXR.
WD8MXR. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Just want to say again that I put together a sort of history of the hospital radios and what our plans are, the advantages of getting involved, piggybacking onto the NorcNet, what the NorcNet is about. And Ernie has sent that out to the TMRA member mailing list. So, Mike, WSYD, if you get mailings through the TMRA membership list. You might want to print that off and circulate that, give copies to your students. I think it's a good explanation of what LCAS has done, what LCAS is hoping to do. And it went out to the Yahoo groups, I think. I posted it to the Yahoo groups. I haven't seen any further actions on that. But anyone that's interested in this exercise, I think it would be to their advantage to look at that. And keep in mind that we're hoping to do this in some form or other every Saturday when the NorthNet meets, the first Saturday of each month. And we want to jump in kind of cautiously. Maybe jumping is the wrong word. We want to take baby steps rather than jump in with both feet and try to do too much. Because if we can do this every month, then we have a better chance of progressing slowly rather than doing it maybe three times a year and then trying to do too much at one or two or three of those three times a year. So bear with us, and if there are some problems, again, as I say, please bear with us. This is going to be a learning experience for us, particularly coordination, trying to get messages back to the NorthNet. But as I said, if you can get a hold of the thing I wrote up, and if you want, if you don't get on the TMRA mailing list, or you can't get onto Yahoo groups, or you're not on those two groups, just email me. And don't use my call sign at awro.net. For some reason, that doesn't work. Use my call sign, WD8MXR, at gmail.com. And again, as I pointed out in what I wrote, if you want information on how to get to the hospitals, you know, where to park, where the equipment is, and things like that, again, email me. I have a file for each of the hospitals in Toledo, not Wood County, a hospital, and I'd be very happy to send you one or more of those if you so need or want or desire. So keep in touch.
Repeater timed out. You are long-winded. I am okay. Repeater time out. Canceled.
Okay, when did I time out?
Hey, EVN, you just got timed out there. I think you only had about three words left to say. You'd said everything and was making your summation at that time, but I'll turn it back to you in case anything at the end there you want to add. KD8, EVN.
Okay, I think I was winding up by saying if any information, if you're not getting the TMRA mailing list sent out, if you can't get onto Yahoo groups, email me, wd8mxr@gmail.com. If you want copies of the hospital equipment files, again, email me and I'll send you one or more, whatever you want of those. Some of them are kind of large, but I'll send them. This is WD8MXR, back to net control.
W-A-T-E-R.
W-A-T-E-R, go ahead. This is KD8, EVN.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Just want to remind everybody, start thinking about which hospital you want to occupy for the drill. So, you know, kick it around, decide which one you want to, and then let Brian, myself, or Brenda, or somebody know which hospital you're interested in so we can know where you're going to be going. The other thing is... as far as the repeaters go, if I'm going to be making rounds, I'm going to go on to each repeater in the surrounding area and attempt to get check-ins from those people, from those repeaters, for participation purposes. So we will, if you get on the repeater and you call and nobody answers, continue to monitor because I'll be around calling for additional check-ins on there. So just kind of listen for me. It'll probably be between 10 and 11 o'clock. That's all I had. W-A-T-E-R, back to net.
Okay, last call for any questions here before we head over into the newcomers and Elmer's net. Again, for the Lucas County Aries and Brief net, any last questions? This is KD8 EVN.
KQ6 EF.
KQ6 EF, is that correct?
Yeah, Richard, could you just give me the date of the hospital net again? I wasn't able to copy it the first time.
The hospital net is going to be the first Saturday in the month from now on. It will be on the same day as the NORAC net, but it is the first Saturday of the month. And I'm looking for a calendar here in the shack, and that will be November the 7th, this Saturday coming up. So it will be this Saturday, November 7th, and it will begin at 10 a.m. Does that answer your question, KD8 EVN?
Yep, that's what I needed. Thank you. KQ6 EF, we're out.
Any other questions? This is KD8 EVN. Okay, again, this is Lucas County Aries in Brief, a quick half-hour update every Sunday at 7:30, right before the TMRA Newcomers and Elmer's Net, which will start here in a couple moments. I would like to thank all of the folks that checked into the net tonight. I would like to thank my alternate net control, Kilo Delta 8, Uniform Zulu Alpha. Joe, thank you for being the alternate. And thanks, a big thanks to Steve and Brian for checking in and giving updates on things that are coming up for Lucas County Aries. But once again, thank you for checking in to the Lucas County Aries in Brief net. This is KD8 EVN returning the repeater to normal amateur use, and it will be taken up in just a moment or two with the TMRA Newcomers and Elmer's net. This is KD8 EVN, clear. Is the repeater or frequency in use? This is KD8 EVN. Oh, hearing nothing. It is 8 o'clock here on a Sunday night, and it's time to open up the TMRA Newcomers and Elmer's Net. CQ, 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 calling for this session of the Newcomers and Elmer's Net. This net meets every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. We meet here on the TMRA repeater at 147.270 with a plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL tone of 103.5 for transmit. Your net control for this session is KD8 EVN, Kilo Delta 8, Echo Victor November. My name is Dave, Delta Alpha Victor Echo, and I'm located in Maumee, Ohio. This is a directed net, which means net control will control all net activities. Do we have anybody out there tonight that would like to be an alternate net control? If so, please give your call sign and first name slowly and clearly. This is KD8 EVN.
KD8 WCB Rich.
Kilo Delta 8 Whiskey Charlie Bravo, all the way from Grand Rapids. Glad to have you with me tonight, Rich. I've got you down as alternate net control. I thank you very much. Okay, let's get it going here. Are you new to amateur radio, or do you just feel inexperienced? Do you have questions? Then this net is for you. The purpose of the net is to encourage all radio newcomers or anyone with questions about the hobby to have a comfortable place to learn and gain experience. We are also encouraging participation of folks who want to help others learn about the amateur radio hobby. These are the Elmers, someone that passes along helpful knowledge and experience to other hams. On this net, mistakes are welcome. All of us have made and still make mistakes. This is how we learn and improve. If you are listening and don't have your license yet, you are still encouraged to join us each week on this repeater until you do. If this is your first time checking into a net, rest assured, you are among friends. Each week, we will have a topic for discussion to guide the net, but let me emphasize this. On this net, all questions are welcome. If we cannot come up with an answer right away, we will find out for next week. This is an interactive net. And remember, the old adage applies. The only really dumb question is the one that is never asked. Tonight's topic is something that I've thought about a lot, but I never really thought about it too much until I kind of had it brought up to me by the folks down in the Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky radio group. And that is partnering up in amateur radio. But before we get into the topic, let's see if we can get a few check-ins there going. On this net, if you'd like to check in, all you have to do is give your call sign slowly and clearly, and then your first name, and then we'll have you checked in. Anybody that would like to check in, please do so at this time. This is KD8EDN Net Control.
KE8UE Dan.
KD8QBH Jim, short time.
KD8KXD Skeet, short time.
W6LDS Lucas, I will be on and off as far as transmitting, but I will be listening at all times.
Kilo Delta 8 with Bravo 2, Darren.
KV8P, Rob.
Okay, let's hold it up right there. Yeah, I'll give my alternate net control and myself a chance to catch up on the writing. Okay, first check-in we had was Kilo Echo 8, Uniform Echo. Dan, KE8UE, got you checked in. Thanks for checking in tonight from White House. Then we had Kilo Delta 8, Quebec Bravo Hotel. Jim, I've got you in short time. And then we had KD8, KSD, am I right on that, Skeet? I know he got you in short time. Do I have the call sign correct, Skeet?
KXD.
Okay, Penn was writing too fast. It didn't look right to me. Thanks, Skeet. Kilo Delta 8, Kilo X-ray Delta. Got you in? Then we had Kilo Delta 6, Lima Delta Sierra. Lucas, we've got you in. Then Kilo Delta 8, Whiskey Bravo Zulu. Darren, we've got you checked in also. Thanks for being with us tonight. And then Kilo Victor 8, Papa. Rob got you in there too, so thank you very much. Okay, let's continue any check-ins. Just give your call sign and first name slowly and clearly. This is the TMRA Newcomers and Elmers Net. This is KD8EDN Net Control.
Kilo 8, Papa Romeo Golf, Rick.
KD8UZA Joe, short time.
Kilo 8, Papa Robert Golf, Rick, we've got you in. And then Kilo Delta 8, Uniform Zulu Alpha, Joe, also have you in a short time. Do we have any other check-ins tonight for the TMRA Newcomers and Elmers Net? If so, please give your call sign and first name slowly and clearly. This is KD8EDN. Hearing nothing there, let me talk about our topic a little bit, and then we'll get back to, we've got three folks on short time, and we'll get back to them very quickly here after we throw out some information on our topic for the night. This might seem like a different topic, but I think it's an important one, too. We often go it alone or nearly so when we really don't need to. Amateur radio is a hobby that is all about community and connecting with others. We can have friends on the air, hundreds if not thousands of miles away, and we can have radio friends right here where we live. There are a lot of hams who live in remote areas who would love to be able to get together with other hams in the area, but there just aren't any. We have hundreds of hams right here in the greater Toledo area, with a number of clubs and activities that we often take for granted. And perhaps best of all of these hams around here means that there's probably not a single aspect of the hobby which someone, somewhere, isn't doing. There are lots of opportunities to learn from people with experience. And listen, we all need Elmers no matter how long we've been in the hobby or how much we know. Nobody knows it all. Newbies, don't be afraid to ask for help. And Elmers, be quick to volunteer if you sense a need, even if you don't. Just letting people know that you can help others with it will make it easier for someone to ask you for help. What are some of the advantages of having a radio friend? Well, you might have shared interest. You've got motivation in the form of challenges, competition, or just shared excitement. You got someone to brag to about that DX contact or how your antenna's working. You've got someone to bounce ideas off of. You've got someone to compare notes, experiences, and goals, and also someone to learn from and have mutual education he can learn from you. Someone to share experiences with, such as road trips, the ham convention trips, and local DX expeditions. Someone to help with antennas, equipment, testing, and troubleshooting. Someone you can attend meetings with together. Get rides to the meeting with together, too. Field day. Have lunch, dinner, or coffee. You've got somebody you can study with for upgrades or learning Morse code or digital modes. FaceTime over airtime is good, but FaceTime is important too. And remember, of course, emails and texts and phone calls can get thrown into this mix. Find friends who are interested in the same areas of the hobby that you are interested in, as well as those who might be good at something you want to learn. Finding people who like what you like gives you an instant camaraderie. With a radio friend, you can get to and talk radio, tech, and geek with someone who knows or wants to know what you are talking about. Small groups can form between those with common interests. While big meetings are great, so are small get-togethers at each other's houses or a local food place. You can get together at McDonald's or Wendy's. Friends can keep us motivated. They can keep us out of a jam and just make the hobby much more fun. One of the things you can do is plan a radio topic or adventure. Bring radios along and chase DX. Listen to shortwave radio, chase AM DX stations, and compare radios, antennas, and techniques. One of the most worthwhile things you can do is work a contest together. Switch back and forth between logging and contacting. Work a contest or special event at your own locations, but keep in touch through the event and spur each other on. If you are like me, you like to share cool things that you learn or hear about with others. Radio friends can keep each other up to date with cool things in the hobby. I think the radio hobby suffers if we do not have people to share it with. You can be a loner in the hobby, of course. But why do that when there are other people in the hobby who already have a common denominator with you? Share your equipment. You probably know someone who would like to see your shack or operate it. Perhaps you would like to operate on a band or a portion of the band where you either do not have privileges or the right equipment. Enter a friend or two with those that can help, and away you go. I guarantee you, you will learn more about the hobby in a community than what you will alone. The more friends that you can make in the hobby, the more you will learn because nobody has all the answers or all the experience. Plus, if you're able to contribute more than what you know, even if you are new to the hobby, new folks bring a fresh breath of fresh air and excitement to the hobby, and both are contagious. Join some forums or groups and share what is going on with you in the hobby. Again, with this group, the Newcomers and Elmers New, with the new Lucas County Aries Briefing Net, great places to get in to public service and also find out what's going on with the new people and what you can do to help. Frankly, I'm amazed that I don't see more email posts on the club's reflector and newsletter. If you've had an interesting experience, share it with other folks. And if you see something like that from someone else, take a moment and congratulate them or acknowledge their contribution. It only takes a moment or two to drop someone a note over email, and you can really make their day. That's it on the topic here tonight. Let's go back to the three guys that are on short time tonight. First, Kilo Delta 8, Quebec Bravo Hotel. Jim, any thoughts on this or any other questions or on any topic tonight? KD8, EDN.
Well, I know there's all kinds of good people out there on this radio, but you as well as I know there's some bad too, but we know how to sort through that. But 99.9% of us are all good, you know, and I know I appreciate every one of you that when I talk to and I ask questions, you know, a couple of them for sure is NALPQ and NADFJ, Bob there. I really appreciate them too. But other than that, you know, and then there's plenty of the guys here in the club that when I do see them and I ask questions, I really appreciate it. So with that said, I'll give it back to you, Dave, KDHQBH.
Fine business, Jim. You're absolutely true. It's great to have some good friends in the hobby and people that really help you out, and it's good to pass on some help to some new people, too. But fine business on all that. Let's go down to Kilo Delta 8, Kilo X-Ray Delta. Skeet, also got you on short time. Any questions or any comments or anything tonight? KD8, EDN.
This is KD8KXD. Thanks for taking the net tonight, Dave. And I have to go along with Jim. A lot of great people. What a great hobby to be involved with. With that, this will be KD8KXD back to net control.
Thank you, Skeet. We appreciate that. Then my third short timer tonight was Kilo Delta 8 Uniform Zulu Alpha. Joe, any thoughts or any questions tonight? KD8EDN.
KD8EDN. No question tonight. I will say that a little over 2 years that I've been doing this hobby, I've appreciated all the help that I have got from you, Dave, Mike, SYD, Steve, TVW, Dan, KE8UE, especially with the antenna work that I've been doing. I've learned a lot in 2 years and hope to gain a lot more experience. I want to thank everybody that at the places that we've been to for our field days and that, taking the radio out for the interest there. That'll be all. Back to net. This is KD8UZA.
KD8UZA, again, appreciations for being the alternate net control for the Lucas County area tonight. I appreciate that a lot, Joe. You're getting better on that net control stuff all the time. Let's go down the list here and see what everybody has to say. We'll go up there to my alternate net control on the TMRA Newcomers and Elmers net, Kilo Delta 8 Whiskey Charlie Bravo. Rich up there in Grand Rapids, any thoughts on the topic tonight, or do you have any questions on any topic? This is KD8EDN.
This is KD8WCB. Thank you, Dave. And, I think quite a bit about having a partner when you're discussing all this information, and it's good to have that other person there that can help you out. I never knew what a beacon was, so my Elmer, he helped me out, and it just little things to constantly keep building your venue. It's a communication thing, so got to get out there and communicate. That's all I've got. KD8WCB, back to net.
You said the magic word, communications. That is what it's all about, interaction and learning to communicate better, and practice makes perfect, all of that. And talking about a guy that's been mentioned here several tonight is one of our outstanding Elmers, Kilo Echo 8 Uniform Echo. Dan, any thoughts on the topic or any other thoughts on any topic tonight? This is KD8-EVN.
Well, hello to everybody on the net that's checked in so far and everybody who is listening on a scanner or whatever. I kind of specialize, like I kind of like to work with antennas, build them and rebuild them. I have a little disability problem, that's what I can do. And I don't mind helping anybody out with an antenna problem or a coaxial problem. And hopefully, and I always, after I work with someone, I always ask them, maybe two or three times, how's things going? Because, you know, it might work today, but it might not work tomorrow. And maybe there's a problem that it doesn't work the third time I ask. Well, what can we do? So I try to figure that out and see what I can do. I don't know everything there is to know because the book is so thick, but I try to be able to, you know, teach or show what I do know and try to demonstrate that. Back to you there, Dave, KD8EVN, KE8UE.
Fine business, Dan. You really do share all your experience. And, in fact, I'm going to ask you a question tonight that on something I've been working on this week. I'm making a 2-meter beam antenna, Yagi, a little one there, a handheld, and I'm using a hairpin match on that. When I got everything assembled and put together, I tested it, and I came up with a SWR of about 2.7. And I like to see my SWR below 1.5. I know that on a hairpin match, if you've got a bare piece of wire as the hairpin, you can actually short that out across it, like making it almost like a letter A as you move up and down it, to change the length of the hairpin match. If my match, again, is a 2.7, do I need to shorten or lengthen the hairpin? I think I have to shorten it, but I haven't got in for the experimentation yet. Do you have any experience on that one? This is KD8-EVN.
Well, a hairpin is somewhat similar to, well, not similar. It's like a gamma match on another beam type of matching. And what you have to do, there's two things you can maybe do to lower the SWR. First of all, shorten it and see where, if it drops. If it drops, shorten it a little more. You might have hit a little sweet spot when you shorten it the first time. When you go to shorten it the second time, it might pop way up. So then you go back. And each time you do that, if you take a little Sharpie and put a little mark across where those are, you know, and you probably want to keep it as square as possible. That's what I do. Sooner or later. The other thing is sometimes when you're pointing them horizontally or vertically, you can run into a slight problem with the match. Try, especially it works with 6 meters, and I don't know why it wouldn't work with 2 meters or even 440, but set it up so that the reflector is near the ground, 3 or 4 feet off the ground, and point the antenna straight up and see what the match is and try to tune it that way also. Sometimes you have ground effects that kind of work against you, and that will help take away some of the ground effects of trying to tune the antenna. KD8-EVN, KE8-UE.
Okay, my inclination was to shorten it, and again, they were, the wire that I had on it originally was a number 14 wire with a insulated wire, solid wire, not stranded. And so I was thinking about unsoldering that and, like you're saying, just shorting across it with another wire and moving that up and down, which will basically change the length of my hairpin. But I thought it had to be shorter. So I was thinking about maybe just lopping off a half an inch or so to begin with and see where it takes me. But your thinking is coinciding with mine. So I'm going to do some work on that. This is the antenna that will be at the TMRA meeting this month. It's a tape measure antenna that was in QST Magazine about a month or so ago. And we'll also have another antenna based on Rob's antenna that he had there, the Kilo Victor 8 Papa, and same type of match on that. So we'll have a couple things there that we can talk about for these fox hunting antennas, but I appreciate the information. Let's go down to Kilo Delta 8, Lima Delta Sierra, the new call sign of Lucas. Any questions or anything on your mind tonight, Lucas?
Yeah, this is W6 LDS. Nothing much is going on, at the moment. I had a fun weekend with a good friend of mine. It was his birthday. We hung out, and I watched the Michigan game, and they won, too. Yep, nothing much is going on. Gonna get some homework done and then go to sleep, because I am tired all of a sudden. Not usually this tired, but who knows why. Don't have that one anymore. W6LDS, XNET.
It does take a while when you change it to make the change over, and it'll take everybody out there that's used to your old call sign to make the change on it, Lucas. But bear with us. This, too, will pass. Let me do a quick call right now before I get down to Darren. Is there anybody else out there that would like to check in to the TMRA Newcomers and Elmer's Net? This is KD8EVN Net Control. Just state your call sign and first name slowly and clearly.
Kilo Delta 8, Whiskey Bravo Yankee, Ed.
Whiskey 8, Mike Alpha Lima, Mike.
Alpha Sierra Papa, Jay.
Okay, let me hold it up there. We had four people check in, and the first one was down in the static there. I'm going to give the three that I have and make sure I've got them correct, and then I'll go back to the one I'm missing. Kilo Delta 8, Whiskey, Bravo, Yankee, Ed, that is correct. And then he asked Mary Alpha Lima, Mike, always glad to have you with us. And then the last one was Jay, and make sure I've got it right, Jay. I had Kilo Echo 8 Alpha Sierra Papa. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
Fine business. And now there's a station that there was the first one to check in there. I was down in the static. Can you check in again? Just please give your call sign twice and then your first name twice. This is KD8EVN.
KV8FXJ Mobile. KV8FXJ Mobile.
Hey, making the trip down the turnpike there, Chuck. I got you in there. Kilo Bravo 8 Foxtrot X-Ray Juliet. Got you and Brenda probably checked in there. But fine business. You're making it in. First time was a little staticky, but this time made it. So I hope you're on a highway amplifier, as WATER says. So fine business. Do we have anybody else that would like to check in to the TMRA Newcomers and Elmer's Net? Please give your call sign and first name solely and clearly. This is KD8EDN Net Control.
WATER.
Whiskey 8, W8TER, we've got you in there, Steve. I had a momentary brain freeze. It does happen. Appreciate you checking in on this net. Let me go up there to Kilo Delta 8 Whiskey Bravo Zulu. Darren, again, here's a guy that does a lot of shared contesting and usually is out there working for some DX all the time. So I think he appreciates part of our topic tonight. But, Darren, do you got anything to share with the people on the net, or do you have any questions or any other things on your mind tonight? This is KD8EDN.
This is KD8WBZ. I'd like to say hello to everybody on the net. Thanks for hosting the net there, Dave. Had a question, but I sort of fixed it myself. Well, I was trying to do double duty and listening to the net, doing JT65 work. My two radios had to bleed all over each other. Couldn't figure out why until I found my loose connection down below line. So sort of cleared that off. But do want to thank you all for showing me a lot of topics here. I didn't partner up with any one single person. I seem to like to pick all your everybody's brain over there, because seems like Dan knows his antennas. You know, contesting a little DX and pretty much everything else here, Dave. Mike knows the rules and regulations like the back of his hand, and I can just keep going and going, but I do want to thank you all for helping me out here and get me going in these past 2.5, almost 3 years of doing this. So, other than that, I really don't have too much more to say. This is KDWBZ back in control.
Fine business, Darren. I know you're always out there learning new things and trying to make those contacts, and we appreciate having you around. As I said in that speech tonight, basically, the new guys breathe life into some of the old timers, and also the excitement that they bring to the hobby is contagious and gets the blood flowing for the old guys. And we appreciate seeing you guys at the meeting and sharing our knowledge with you, and having you seeing you have some fun. So that's all of it. So let's go down to Kilo Victor 8 Papa. Rob, anything on your mind tonight, or any topic, or anything on our topic that we were talking about? KD8EDN.
Yeah, hi Dave. No, not a whole lot. I guess you know, it's one of those when it comes to partnering, there's just so many ways that we do it. We don't think about it sometimes. There are all the things that even that we use out there, the tools that we use that someone else has provided that makes our life easier. Then we often think of it as, okay, I sit down at the radio, but I don't need a hand. But I'll tell you what, if you ever work a contest alone, you know how hard that is without good help and being able to switch in and out, and you know, as far as making technical changes and technical work, I definitely value everything from the shared tools that happen when we hit up a project, and then try to figure out whose tools are whose afterwards, and you know, no matter how much you know a certain subject, there's always unique experiences that each person has that makes that they bring to that makes the final outcome of a technical project that much better as well. So, you know, you watch Steve TVW and Mike SYD and the teaching that they're doing and helping bring people along. And by the way, I just wanted to say thanks to those guys for doing that. It's a fantastic help for the hobby, and to help bring people along and give people a path to the hobby. You know, and they're teaming up together to make that happen. And I imagine, along with many others, I don't know who's all involved with it, but all of those things are so much harder when you take them on by yourself. So there you go. Those are kind of some of the thoughts running through my mind. And I don't know that all my mentors know how much they meant to me along the way personally, but showing me not just how to do something, but what can be done, and that it really isn't as hard as it looks. So, you know, there you go. So off the partnering subject, drop it quick. The Yagi there, Dave, I think the match on mine is, you're looking for the hairpin match, I think it's about 5 inches long, but it's much smaller than 14 gauge. I think mine's like an 18 gauge wire, so that might help, but maybe not. The thing is, it's set up as a receive antenna. I can't transmit through that the way it's set up, so I don't really know what that match is. So there you go. And I just wanted to say congrats to Lucas on the new call. I know it's lining up with his initials as well, so often thought about doing that myself. So back to net. Thanks, Dave. KV8P.
Thank you, Rob. Yep, it's about 5 inches is where I'm at, and like I say, I'm going to cut it down a little bit, or I'm going to go to a bare wire that I can adjust. But bring your antenna, the one you brought at last month's TMRA meeting, and I'll show you my kit version of that, my make-it-yourself deal, as well as that one from QST. I think part of it is the materials that you're building it out of. Continuity in the steel and the other parts that you're putting into it. I mean, you can put it out the right dimensions and all that, but if the steel is different or something isn't quite right, it might be a little bit different. But it's a tape measure antenna, so we're giving it a shot and kind of going from there. KD8EDN. And Rob led into, let me give a few announcements here real quick before we continue down the list. One is, if you haven't tuned in yet, at 7:30 on Sunday night, there is the Aries in Brief net. That starts at 7:30. It's a short net. It's a whole bunch of information going out on what's happening with Lucas County Aries. A lot of stuff there tonight that we talked about with the training net, the hospital net, the Lucas County Aries meeting, the Mars coronal ejection exercise. Talked about their website, talked about the tech class. A lot of stuff out there. Again, go to lucasaries.org. That's their website. Lots of information. Enough said there. Remember, everyone, TMRA Tech Meeting will be on Monday, November the 9th, and that'll be at 7 o'clock at Maumee Fire Station number 2. Twiddle Mobile Radio Association meeting is over there in Rossford, and that's on Wednesday, the following Wednesday there, the 12th, November 12th. And then as WA8SYD was talking about, the TMRA technician license class will be on November 7th and also on November 21st at the EMS building at 2127 Jefferson in downtown Toledo. If we got anybody out there listening that's interested in becoming an amateur radio operator, this is a wonderful way to do it. And I also remind everyone that the November VE testing, instead of being early in the month there, the second Saturday, that will be at the end in the afternoon of the second technician class on the 21st. So if you're looking to get a license change this month, remember it will be on the 21st, and it will be in downtown Toledo there on Jefferson Avenue. And as always, the Lucas County Aries meeting will be at 8 o'clock at St. Luke's Hospital for breakfast, and then 9 o'clock for the actual meeting. And that's on the, let's see, Saturday, November the 28th. And also remember, there is going to be an exercise, as always, the Lucas County Siren Training Net, and that is the coming Friday here. And then the Saturday after that at 10 o'clock in the morning, there will be the NURAC and hospital testing of radios coming up here. So a lot of things happening this month in amateur radio. Let me reach out to the turnpike there and see if Kilo Bravo 8, Foxtrot, X-Ray, Juliet. Chuck, I feel you got to be getting closer. Any thoughts tonight or anything that you or Brenda might want to add to the newcomer Elmer's net? This is KD8EDN. Bravo 8, Foxtrot, X-Ray, Juliet. Are you out there, Chuck?
Okay, hearing nothing. We'll try you back in a couple minutes here. You never know how that turnpike goes. I made this run too many times on a Sunday night. Let's go down to Kilo Delta 8 Whiskey Bravo Yankee. Ed, any questions, any thoughts, or anything else on your mind tonight? This is KD8 EDN.
It was actually 2 years ago this month that I, along with a number of other folks that check in regularly on our newcomers and Elmer's Net, took the class with TBW, SYD, and some others and got started. So in terms of folks that help, certainly want to thank you and all of the good folks that come on each Sunday evening and help us and energize us. You talked about sometimes the newcomers energize the folks that have been at it for a time. It also works the other way around. Sometimes you get kind of frustrated or not quite sure what to do next, and our Sunday evening chats are inspiring, and so thank you so much. As far as a question, though, I wonder if I might ask one question. Usually we talk about trying to use as heavy a cable as possible, say, for example, LMR 400 out to the antenna, but if you're going from device to device within the shack, I was wondering, is it still important to use that same heavy cable, or might there be a lighter cable that would be acceptable? And with that, back to net control, Kilo Delta 8 Whiskey Bravo Yankee.
Good question, Ed. I'll put it out there to the group. We know we use the LMR 400 and the heavy cable going out to the antennas, but what do you use for connections within the shack? This is KD8 EDN.
W8SYD.
Okay, we'll go to KE8UE and then we'll head on down to Mike. But go ahead, Dan.
Okay, my personal experience is that I use a half-inch hardline Heliax for, well, I don't have to use it for 6 meters, but everything from 6 meters generally on up is fed with half-inch hard line. To make the connections, and I use N connectors, you will hear me say that all the time. I will use a flexible line, and it's usually 9913F7, which is a flexible RG8, which is pretty low loss. It runs like 1.7 dB loss per 100 foot. and there's where the N connectors come in to being, because I try to use the least amount of adapters. So I kind of try to go from, if it is a PL259 at the end of the radio, the other end of the of the 9913 is an N. That's how I do things. Up at the antenna end, I do measure it out and use 9913, because as you twist the tower, the hard line won't go with that. So I use F7 in that, and I also go as far as the electrical wavelength. Now that I got you totally confused, we'll let Mike clear things up. KD8EVN, KE8UE.
No, there's some good information in there. Let's let Mike finish it up. Go ahead, WA8SYD, KD8EVN.
Okay, we'll do that. I'll make a quick comment about Ed in the class that 2 years ago, you know, we took a group picture for that. It's one of the few that we've ever done. And the TVW and I were talking about it, and that may have been virtually our best class ever. Not only did we have a good-sized class, a lot of bodies in there, but also we got a lot of spark plugs out of that class, too, I've got to tell you. When that one graduated, we declared success, and we're still celebrating. Anyway, okay, on the connectors and the other stuff in the shack, for short distances, it almost doesn't matter. You know, if you're just jumpering from, you know, from the the radio to the tuner or to a meter or something or another like that. Those very short lengths don't matter too much. I will tell you where other problems come in. The first is in the length, obviously, of the cable. So the higher the frequency, the more attenuation for any given cable. And the longer the length, the more attenuation. So at lower frequencies, it's almost negligible. At shorter lengths, almost, but not quite negligible. Now, Dan's preference for N connectors does matter. Some N connectors are constant impedance. UHF connectors, in other words, 239, 259 series, do represent an impedance lump. The impedance is not constant through those connectors. Even BNC connectors are actually better than the UHF style or the 259, 239, 259 family. And for short lengths, RG58 is just fine. You can use RG58 for all your connectors and jumpers in the shack if you're 100 watts or less, and the signal will never know it, tell you the truth. So, and they're a lot easier to manipulate and fold around inside the shack. So the best you can do is always the best you can do, but the losses for shorter distances and lower frequencies are minimal to negligible inside the shack. So I think that's what Ed was really asking more than anything else. Outside, yeah, use the good stuff. Inside, whatever you got, as long as there's nothing wrong with it, W8SYD.
There you go, Ed. I think you've heard the wisdom there of the two of the smartest guys in the club. Does that answer your question, Kilo Delta 8, Whiskey Bravo Yankee, KD8 EVN?
Yes, it does. So, Dave, thank you. The one thing I would add about Steve and Mike, and then I had a chance to serve as a volunteer examiner one day with Dan, is that in the class, Mike in particular and Steve went around and talked to everybody. So you could sit in the class and you could learn from the folks up front. But they went around in the breaks and talked to everybody. And so you not only left with a lot of knowledge, but you left with a friend. And then Dan was very kind once, explained the difference between the different connectors, was very patient. Not only learn a lot of knowledge, but leave with a good friend in the hobby. So thank you very much. KD8WBY, back to net control.
KV8P with a comment.
I agree with you on the friends, and that goes back to our topic tonight, but let's see what KV8P has to say. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, just on the subject of coax jumpers in the shack, so there's only one caveat that I have to that, and it's a personal thing. Having done a lot of work with repeaters, I guess, if you intend to run through a duplex or whatever, use one antenna to receive on something while something else is transmitting. If you ever want to use the same lines for something receiving while you're transmitting, I think you want to pay particular attention to what the makeup in that coax is. The LMR400s have two dissimilar metals that do touch in those coaxes, and that's where those cause noise. So it's more of a problem on repeaters, but I bring that back into my own shack as well. If because I do have, for instance, right now I have a 440. I'm listening on 440 on the same antenna. So my jumpers, I use RG214 for that. It's got similar metals in the coax, so I'm particular about those, or some flex, quarter-inch Heliax flex line. It's much cheaper stuff, the smaller flexible stuff. So that's the only exception to that. I think I also do that kind of stuff a little bit just to keep it really doesn't matter from a loss standpoint. Those jumpers are so small within the shack that loss-wise you're not going to end up with any issues. I still tend to run some pretty decent coax just to make sure I don't have, on UHF and VHF at least, just to make sure I don't have any signal getting in from other wires in my shack or any RF leaking. But it's a personal preference, I guess. on the HF bands. I don't worry about it as much, but there you go, KV8B.
Those are good points on all that, Rob. The key thing is the loss that you have whenever you have a connector in the mix going out to the antennas. You lose something no matter what you do with the connector. And I think Dan's point always is that the end connector, you're still going to lose something, but you're not going to lose as much as a 259 or a 239. But, no, good comments from all three of you guys. And then I've got to apologize here to Kilo 8, Papa, Robert, Golf, Rick. I skipped over you as I was going down my list there with some of the short-time guys, but I don't want to leave you out. So, again, any thoughts or any questions or anything else on your mind tonight? Go ahead, Rick, KD8EVN.
Well, regarding tonight's topic, it's November now. I'm coming on 1 year that I've been licensed, and I've made some good friends. Everybody in the club has made me feel welcome and comfortable, and I'm not afraid to ask questions and get some sincere answers from them, and I really appreciate that. It's been very, very helpful. And again, have made me and Lucas feel very welcomed, and I'll always appreciate that. I do have another question regarding another topic that I have. It has to do with SWR. I want to learn as much about that as I can retain, but my question is, I have a auto tuner. I'm mainly interested in CW and spend most of my time on 40 meters. So my auto tuner, you know, when I point towards the frequency, I push the auto or the tuner button, and the green light comes on to let me know that everything's fine. And supposedly that the SWR is in line. So given that, do I really need an SWR meter? Again, I'm going to get one, but it's mainly because I want to learn as much about that as I can. But I guess my main question is, do I really need it? It's open to all my Elmer friends out there. Back to net.
Well, KE8UE, I'll try to answer some of that.
Okay, I'm sure you'll have a good answer on that one. And, KE8UE, go ahead, KD8EDN.
I and this may be another preference, I try to monitor the output of the radio to the antenna with a meter. Not so much that I'm afraid that the SWR has gone awry, but it does happen, especially in icy conditions or real wet conditions, the SWR will rise. And it's just it doesn't matter if you spend because it's just an indicator. It doesn't matter whether you spend $200 for the meter or if you spend $50 for the meter. It's going to give you relativity about what is happening with your transmission system, the coax and the antenna and whatever else that you have in line. And if you see that the meter doesn't look exactly right, you can always flip it and see if what you have in SWR. Let's say the SWR went out and it's in the middle of the winter time. Well, you can peek your head out the window and say, oh, we got heavy snow or we've got icing conditions. And that might be an indicator, oh, well, then that as soon as that melts, that SWR will go down. If it doesn't, then you may have another problem.
but it's just a good indicator of what is happening with your transmission line and antenna system. Does that help explain that, Rick? Is that what you're looking for? KE8UE.
Yes, it does, actually. It's kind of the answer I anticipated. I guess I just needed some reinforcement. In other words, just a good idea to check in checking things. And I'll proceed. In fact, I got my mind made up on one I believe that I'll be ordering soon. So I thank you for that. Kilo 8 Papa Romeo Golf back to net.
KV8P with a comment.
KE8UE back to net.
Rob for his comment. Go ahead, Kilo Victor 8 Papa, KD8EDN.
Yeah, I second some of Dan's comments. There's so many different things that can happen. Well, unless you're running antennas like me in my attic. Where the elements don't factor in as much. But even then, there's so many things that can happen that you kind of want to know where you're trending. And the thing with auto tuners and whatnot, you really can't see that. I mean, as far as the SWR, what's going on? Is it, did it get better? Did it get worse? So seeing that relative to what's going on is kind of nice, I guess, to be able to see those changes. But the other thing to know, too, is that those auto-tuners, a lot of those auto-tuners won't tune in a perfect match. They're only going to tune it to the point where it's acceptable. And there may be times where you really want to know, too, where is it really? And why did it suddenly decide to change your auto-tune? And you might have been on the hairy edge of that. So that would help explain. Having that meter will help explain why it's doing what it's doing sometimes if it is auto-tuning. Started raining and it changed things a little bit, so it's more of a window into what the auto tuner is even doing on occasion. Now it should keep you safe, you know, in the functionality, whether it's in the radio or outside the radio, should keep the radio safe and transmitting into something decent. But it's still good to see it. So there you go. That's my thought on it. KV8P.
W8SYD is here as well.
WA8SYD, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, yeah, I, first off, Rick, are you still doing QRP?
Sometimes. Other times I'll get up to about 50 watts just to see how far I can get out there.
Okay, one of the reasons I was asking about this is these guys are hitting on something that that you know we kind of look at, and that's the relative health of your antenna system. And so if you leave the thing just on the reflected power and it rises, that's a pretty good indicator that then you know something's going on over there. At low powers like that, a lot of times the tuners, if they're not built specifically for very low powers, don't indicate the best, you know, down in that range. Most meters work best when they're run in the upper half of their range. So if I had a meter that read 100 units of something, the ideal spot to use that would be somewhere between about, say, 65 or 70 and almost 100% of whatever the meter's range is. That's an instrumentation technique. That's where they work the best. So if you had very low power on a meter that indicates 100 watts or better, let's say, it's not near as accurate when it's used in that low end of the range. Hold on here. The second is that at an HF like that at 40 meters with a fairly low power, there's not a lot of criticality. I mean, it's not that you don't want to know. You do want to know because the bandwidth is so narrow down there. But you can use one of these real cheap CB type watt meters for the QRP stuff, and they work fabulous. The last one I picked up, I found, you know, a garage sale or something like for a buck. You know, they're good through 10 meters, so at 40 meters, they work just fine.
you know, CB stuff's only supposed to be 4 watts to begin with, so, you know, if you're running a 5-watt radio like you had been, no big shucks. The thing to remember about SWR to begin with is that what you're really doing is you're storing some of the energy in the capacitance or inductance of the antenna, the reactive portion, and it's coming back to the radio on an off part of the cycle. You send it out at the peaks, but because it's 90 degrees out of phase, whatever is stored, kind of like a spring or something like that, it's pushed back toward the radio when the radio stops pushing. That's probably the simplest way to describe it. And so if you are tuned to a resonant point, all of the energy goes to the antenna and stays there. The antenna looks like a big resistor. It takes all the energy and doesn't send any back because it doesn't store any. And so when you go off your center frequency or your ideal resonant frequency, you're starting to store a little bit of the energy and send some back. Now, if you're expecting that, no big shucks. But if it looks like the other guys were saying here, where something that's unexpected happens, it's a relative indication of the health. But when you use it regularly, you'll know where your antenna likes to be for a given frequency, and you can compare that which was with what is usual and customary for your operations. And the big thing is to see what's different when it happens. W8SYD.
That's some excellent information on there. And from a practical operating situation, I'll say this. When you're out there on the band and you tune it to a certain portion and then you're out there moving around and all that, you can get into a spot where the SWR has changed because of the frequency that you're on has changed from where it was when you tuned it. And having the meter up there kind of keeps you in mind of what's going on and, as Mike says, the health of the antenna and where you've changed or wherever. And I would look at it, too, it's cheap insurance. Whether you might throw the wrong antenna switch and you're actually transmitting into a short stub of coax, you don't have a dummy go down there or whatever, the SWR meter is the first thing you're going to look at. And if that doesn't look right, then all of a sudden, maybe I better start looking around the shack to see what's happening. Cheap insurance, it's something that you keep an eye on for the health of your signal going out and kind of go from there. But I think you have plenty of information on this one, Rick. Kilo 8, Papa Robert Golf, does that answer your question? This is KD8EDN.
Yes, and then some. You're right. But I appreciate it. A lot to work with there. But, again, I'm determined to deal with this, and I'll keep plugging along. Thanks much to all the comments. Kilo 8 PRG, back to net.
Fine business. Let me head on down to Whiskey 8, Mary Alpha Lima. Mike, any thoughts on any question tonight or anything on your mind? This is KD8EVN.
KD8EVN, W8MAL. Nothing, Dave. I'm tied up on CW at this time, W8MAL.
Fine business on the CW, Mike. Enjoy it. There's nights I wish I was there with you. But fine business. Enjoy it. Let's go down to Kilo Echo 8 Alpha Sierra Papa. Jay, anything on your mind? Any questions? Anything on the topic or anything else you want to talk about? This is KD8 EVN.
Test and listening to all the good information being passed on. Hopefully I'll be ready for at the Spring Ham Fest in Perrysburg. I'll be testing out for the next level. Thank you guys for letting me get on here and learn all this new information.
Fine business, Jay. It'll be great to get that general, and that really opens up the world of the HF bands, and I think you'll really enjoy it, and I'm glad you got a target set there to do it up at the TMRA Hamfest in the spring. I usually work that VE session. I'll look forward to seeing you there. But, yeah, keep working on that book. I always say when you've got that book nice and dog-eared, and you got plenty of things highlighted in it, and you've got notations on it, and all over it, things written, and the book's starting to look pretty bad, then you're about ready to take the test. So hang in there, and good studying over there on your end, but glad to hear you on the net tonight. Let's go down to Whiskey 8, Tango, Echo, Romeo. Steve, are you still out there or anything on your mind tonight? This is KD8EDN.
WATER, yeah, the sounds like a good net tonight. A lot of good information. One of the things that we're supposed to do is help improve the pool of operators. So by putting on classes and helping to educate amateur radio operators and sharing that information puts us all on a much better plane and gives us a better ability to be able to set up our stations and communicate. That's all I got, Dave. A good night tonight, WATER.
Fine business, Steve. Let me head on down and see if Mike, WA8SYD, has any comments. I'm sure he's got something on his mind there. Go ahead, Mike. This is KD8EDN.
Well, big thing is to just say hello to everybody. Nice to hear the bunch out there. I was wound up listening on the other net on 6-1 here, too, for a little bit, for a while. That was kind of interesting. Anyway, one thing I did forget to say about the SWR meter and metering in general, if you want a trend, is it moving up, is it moving down, and how fast, which way, get an analog meter. Analog meter isn't as precise, we'll say, but it does tell you how much, which way, how fast. You get a digital meter, on the other hand, and while it's moving, them numbers are flying all over the place. You can't read them anyway. But a digital meter can be more precise. Not necessarily more accurate. You want to separate accuracy and precision. Accuracy is the percentage of error based on the full-scale reading. Precision is basically how many digits your reading gets carried out to. You can have a meter that's precise but not accurate. It's important to know that. At any rate, so if you like precision, digital's cool. If you want trends, relative indications, analog is far superior, and it actually is more useful most of the time. So I'll just share that with you from many years of reading meters for one purpose or another, WA8SYD.
That's good advice. The meters are neat, the old analog meters, but they can be hard to read. The digital, like you say, can flash up there pretty quick, but I kind of like the LED readout meters. And those are quick reads, especially with different color LEDs, whether they be green if everything's fine, and yellow if it's going bad, and then red if they're off the deep end. Take a look at the Elecraft Whiskey 2 meter. It's a kit. You can put it together yourself. It's a little pricier because it has external readers for it, but it's a quick way to see what's going on with your radio.
Dave, you won, but there was a double at the beginning of your transmission.
Okay, station the double. Go ahead. This is KD8EDN.
I believe it was me, K8PRG. By the monologue one, are we talking about the needles that cross each other? Over.
That's exactly what it means. It has a pointer on it. It doesn't have to be cross needles. The analog, yeah, it has a pointer.
All righty, thank you.
So many meters, so little time. Well, I've got an announcement I'm going to make here on the net. I don't know, most of us hams all have other hobbies that we're involved with, and mine is music, and I've been playing a clarinet for over half a century now, and I finally got to the point where I've got to do some things to keep playing the clarinet. I've got problems with my right hand, and I'm going in for surgery later this week to have that corrected. But I've been told that the recovery from the surgery is that no writing, no typing, and not doing much with the hand for about 3 to 4 weeks, and then totally recovered by 6 weeks after. And I hate to say it, guys, but it's going to slow me down on this net because as I work a net, I've got the microphone here in my left hand and the pen is in my right hand, and it would be kind of tough to come in there and keep notes and see what's happening on the net. So I'm going to put it out right now. Between now and the end of the year, we are going to be looking for net controls here for the newcomers in Elmer's net. And again, whatever topic you want to talk about, that's basically, I kind of research it every week and see what I want to talk about and kind of go from there. You can talk about anything you want to. You can do a rag to. You can do anything. But for the next few weeks, you won't be hearing me. I'm probably be on the listening end, and I can still run the mic with my left hand. So we'll see how it goes from there. But I'll put that out to the net as a heads up, and we'll go from there. I'm hoping this extends my clarinet playing for another 50 years if I'm lucky. But we'll go from there. Okay, guys, out there tonight, we've gone all the way down through the list. Let me ask this, do we have any additional check-ins, questions, comments, queries, or anything else for the good of the net? This is KD8EDN, Net Control.
Yeah, Dave, got one for you. Question.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I got to ask, clarinet, if you've been doing it for a while, so do you like or are you any good at klezmer music or, let's say, maybe some Pete Fountain type stuff, some Dixieland jazz, or maybe even like the beginning of Rhapsody in Blue with that long sliding note there?
Those are wonderful clarinet techniques. And yes, I have played some Disneyland. Yes, or Disneyland. Dixieland. And also played some, well, jazzier movements on there. I play in the Maumee Community Band, and we practice every week, and then we have a concert series through the summer. I also play in a clarinet trio. And we've played up in Canada. We're internationally famous as the Toledo Trio. And we play Mozart, Stamets, Beethoven, and some of the heavier things on the clarinet. But we also go and go to nursing homes. And again, some of the people like that. Most of them want something they can tap their toe to. So we have a pretty good repertoire of popular songs in the trio that we play. But between the community band and the trio, that keeps me busy. And then maybe once a year I get to play the Pro-Am with the Toledo Symphony. And that's the epitome of my clarinet playing. When you're on stage with those guys, the sound is unbelievable. And it's really neat. But again, it's a hobby you keep up for a long time. But again, my vocation and work is kind of catching up with me on what it did to my right hand. So I'm going to have to do some work on that. But, yep, I'll play you anytime there, Mike, and I'll give you a list of when we have our concerts. KD8EDN.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Yeah, and for toe tapping, go with klezmer, W8SYD.
Okay, let me kick it back out there. Again, are there any additional check-ins, questions, comments, or queries, or anything else for the good of the net? This is KD8EDN.
LA check-in, Whiskey Bravo 8, Whiskey Echo America. And as an aside, I have the Rhapsody in Blue on 78 that I play on my Victrola from time to time. Back to net from Whiskey Bravo 8, Whiskey Echo America.
Fine business, Paul. When you put out those old 78 records, you're going back in time. And vinyl is good. Vinyl, the sound being so nice and warm, it's like having a tube radio. Comparing it to some of the solid-state things that we have now. But, yep, a great, great way to play it on a 78 Victrola. First one I ever saw was at my grandparents', and it was a wind-up one. And he used to let us go down there, and we couldn't play all the records, but he would let us play with some of them. And interesting to hear. Fine business, Paul. Thanks for that 2 cents there on a different topic. Okay, again, do we have any other additional check-ins, questions, comments, or queries, or anything else for the good of the net? This is KD8EDN. Had a couple great hours here tonight. Again, I was helping out Brenda on her net for the Lucas County area starting at 7:30, and then kind of worked my way right into this one. But it's been a long time here, so I think we'll start wrapping her up. While closing tonight's net, I would like to thank everyone who participated in the net and those that tuned in to the net. And as always, a big thanks to the TMRA for the use of the repeater. We would also like to thank and give credit to the Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Radio Society. They had the idea for this net. They've got a wonderful website at www.OscarHotelKiloYankeeIndiaNovember.org. Great website. Highly recommend it. Remember, we meet here every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. on the 147270 repeater. We're going to close the net tonight with 17 check-ins, and I would like to give a big thanks to my alternate net control, Kilo Delta 8, Whiskey Charlie Bravo. Rich, appreciate you backing me up there in Grand Rapids. This is KD8EDN, signing the net clear. It's always good to talk to new and old friends on the radio. We will now return the repeater to its normal amateur radio use. Good night and 73 to all. This is KD8EDN, clear.
KD8EDA, KE8UE, check your email, KE8UE, clear.
KD8EDN, Community TV.
KD8OTP, holy smokes, out of the darkness, a great voice. Man, I haven't talked to you forever. How you doing tonight, Rod?
I'm doing okay. Hey, you want to go over to Simplex?
D-Star?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, fine business. Heading over to D-Star frequency. This is KD8EDN. Clear this frequency.
KD8EVN, this is KD8WCB.
Go ahead, KD8WCB, Rich.
I confirm you had 17 logins tonight. Have a good evening. Talk to you later. KD8WCB, clear.
Fine business, Rich. I appreciate you backing me up. I'll kick you in on the email on all the net activities, but I really appreciate you backing me up. This is KD8EVN. I'll be clear this frequency. W8MAL, go ahead.
Hey, Dave, Mike here in Port Clinton. Sorry to bail on you. I was listening to 80 meters CW, and I heard a call sign, Whiskey 8, Oscar, Victor Hotel, and it's the state veterans home over in Sandusky, and I decided I was going to work them instead of being here on 2 meters, so I worked them. And come back just to hear you tie the ribbons on it.
Fine business. That's a great contact, Mike. Working those guys over there, I didn't know they had their own station. But that's neat, and I'm sure they appreciate you giving them some time.
Oh, absolutely. Gentleman over there by the name of Dan, running right around 15, 18 words a minute. And didn't really expect to hear it on CW. I knew they have had a club that was established earlier this year, maybe June, July, somewhere right in that area. And from the turnout that we were getting at Sandusky Club from the OVH Club, the Veterans Club,
a lot of technicians and a lot of unlicensed but wanting to learn. And then I hear them calling 80 meters CW on a sound like a straight key or a real slow bug. I decided I was going to work them just for the sake of working them. I don't get a call like that very often.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Okay, I've got to kick over. I was going to meet KB8OTP on another frequency there, but I appreciate that, and that's a neat contact and something to keep in mind that those guys are over there. Maybe get over and see them sometime there with the Experimental Society guys. But fine business. Appreciate the contact. Appreciate the comeback there. Mike, 73 is to you. This is KD8EVN. I'll be clear on your final.
Hey, very good, Dave. And 73, nice riding along with you for a little bit that I did. And give Rod my best. I haven't seen him since Hamfest, so he's due for a picking on from me. KD8EVN, W8MAL. Good evening, Dave.